Singing a sermon, it's good, isn't it? Amen. Isn't the Lord good? Aren't you glad you're saved? Praise God. Well, the Lord bless each and every one tonight. We do give everyone a warm welcome into the service in the name of the Lord. And we want to turn to the book of Daniel chapter 7 and just pray, and the Lord will help us tonight. And I want to talk about Daniel's vision of the four beasts, and before that, there's no way I'll get to all the beasts, but I want to think a little about the four winds as well tonight. And we're reading verse 1 and verse 2 of Daniel chapter 7, and then perhaps I'll read Revelation 7 as well, just a few verses tonight as well. Praise God. Verses 1 and 2 then of Daniel chapter 7. In the fourth year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. We'll read verse 3 and 4 as well. And the four great beasts come up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like an eagle. The first was like a lion, and had an eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings were off, were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon his feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. Then if I want to turn, keep your finger in that, and I want to turn to Revelation 7. And Revelation 7, let's read from verse 1. And after these things I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels in whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Our Heavenly Father, we just bow before you this evening. In the lovely and precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we've come to lift your name up and to worship thee. We've come to look into thy word and to see things concerning these last days. Father, we would seek to thee this evening for the Holy Spirit to interpret thy word and to open our understandings to these great truths. Lord, in this very book of Daniel, you said it's sealed up until the time of the end. And we know we're living at the time of the end tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, touch your people this evening. Heal those that need a healing. Save those that need saving. And restore the backslidden, we pray. And Father, we'll give thee all the praise and all the glory. Help this preacher to preach. Quicken the word. Tell us understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And do thy own people good. In Jesus' precious name. For those that needed prayer tonight, yes. Touch them, I pray, yes, in Jesus Christ's name. Father, now I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you too, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. It's maybe seated. Praise God. This book of Daniel is a tremendous book, and I was in a real betwixt. I had another message I was thinking of preaching. I didn't know to preach this message or not. I'd studied it, and then I went back in the day, and Sharon was calling me. It was 3:10. It just opens up and opens up, and I've seen something in this, and I just want to share it tonight. I won't try to go into too much. But maybe just to give you a bit of background of the times of the visions. And those that have been following, it's on our website as well. If you haven't been following on the book of Daniel, this is about the 14th. Service, believe it or not, on the book of Daniel that we've done. This is now up to chapter 7. I believe all this book of Daniel is about the end time. And all these things are symbols and signs of the end time. And God has already done some outstanding things that some of us might know. And God has preserved us that we're here. And we're going to see tonight how God stopped wars. And the reason God stopped wars is because no one could have lost what he had chosen. Not a one. And that's why God done that. Now we're not Israel, and these 144,000 I've read from Revelation is Israel. But we have to remember this when we read the writings of Paul the Apostle. Paul shows us that we were not the people of God. We were Gentiles with clubs in our back. Heathens. But God in his mercy blinded the Jews so that they couldn't see Jesus was the Messiah, and he opened our eyes that we could see Jesus the Messiah. But now we're living in the last of the last days, and the scholars all agree it's the time of the Gentiles being fulfilled. We're living in that. Therefore the Gentiles have to be blinded. And God is going to turn again to the Jewish people, and he's going to save them, and he's going to seal them. And we are so close tonight to the rapture of the true church. We're at the last of the last days when Jesus Christ is going to catch away a bride and take her home to heaven. And God is going to concentrate on Israel, and he's going to turn back to Israel. Now this sealing, we won't be here because we're going to go in the rapture. And 1 Thessalonians 4:16 tells us, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ," and a brother mentioned it so well this morning, "will rise first." The graves are going to open, and all the truly saved from all ages, from all down through seven church ages, from the beginning of time, all that's in the grave that are saved are going to come out of the graves, and we're going to meet the Lord in the air, not in the air, in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And those of us that's living when he appears will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll go to be with the Lord. God's going to change our bodies, and we're going to be taken. We're not going. We're going to be taken. Just like the Bible tells us in Genesis, Enoch walked with God and God took him. And the thing is about this, it's a mystery. This is the thing about it. This second coming of the Lord is an absolute mystery. No man knoweth the day and the hour, not even the Lord Jesus himself. Only the Father knows when Jesus will actually come. But I want to say in this meeting tonight, he's coming soon. And everyone needs to be ready. Now, that's just an introduction. I want to give you this as well. As an introduction, and as you read this book of Daniel, you'll see that this chapter 7 is actually back a bit. Because Belteshazzar here, which we have read of, was back a bit. Now let me give it to you. This chapter chronologically should precede chapters 5 and 6, but chronologically order has been disregarded so as to keep the historical part of the book separate from the prophetical. And there's a historical start part of this book, and there's a prophetical part of the book. And anything that's prophetical, God will unfold it. When God said a virgin shall conceive, that was prophetical. And as time went, she did. And there's prophetical things in the book of Daniel that God wants us to know. The devil hates the book of Daniel and Revelation. This is two most hated books. And even when you study this book of Daniel, so many writers try to discard it as stories and fiction and all, but it's fact. It's God's word. Part of the book separate from the prophetical. Now we now enter into the second or prophetical part of the book. The opening of the words of this chapter take us back to the first year of Belshazzar's reign, the date of which is uncertain. In all probability, he was not associated with his father as king of Babylon over 3 years. And he was slain in B.C. 538. This first year of his reign would have been the year B.C. 541, at which time Daniel would have been about 85 years old. The date then was of the date of the visions of this chapter must have been 62 years after Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the golden-headed image. And it's important to remember this golden-headed image because these four beasts take us back till that. Because it's all prophetically linked together. And it's all meaning lots of the same things. The fall of Babylon was B.C. 538, a period of 23 years. Daniel appears to have lived a retired life. And you know, it must have been a blessed time for him. And when I said Daniel lived a retired life, Daniel studied the Word of God. And Daniel studied the books. And while Daniel studied the books, Daniel was studying the Word of God. And Daniel was studying the books because remember that Daniel is a captive. He is a captive in a strange land and studying the Word of God. And he's studying the prophetic books of God because Daniel wants to know what will befall his people at the end time. Now here the Bible lets us in on Daniel 9 verse 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books
whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. So we know that Daniel studied the books of Jeremiah the prophet. We also know he read the Psalms. They might have been in order like in our Bibles today, but he had them and he read them and he knew them and he studied them. And Daniel was seeking God when he had these visions. Isn't it a bit like John and the Isle of Patmos? John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. Revelations, banished. And if you read the history of John, they boiled John in oil to murder him. And God preserved him, and the boiling never killed him. Just like God's three Hebrew children, and just like Daniel in the den of lions, God protected them. Thank God for his protection. Now, first of all, it was during those quiet years while Daniel was seeking more light from Scripture as the times of the Gentiles and the rebellion to his own people, the Jews, that he had this vision of the four wild beasts. And this vision of the four wild beasts, and the Bible also talks about the winds. And it specifically states about the winds coming from four parts. And that's significant that the winds come from four parts. Every corner of the compass, the winds are coming from. Now look at verse 2 of Daniel, chapter 7. Daniel spake, and I saw in a vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens drove upon the great sea. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now the scene of the vision was on the shore of the great sea. This is a clue for us. This is an important statement for the Old Testament. The term Great Sea stands for the Mediterranean Sea. Now, where is the Mediterranean Sea? If you look in your phone or on your computer and you put in the Mediterranean Sea, you're going to get Israel. How many knows that? It's quite quiet in here. Nobody knows that. Well, I didn't know about it either, but I looked it up, so now I do know. Now, not the boy you're reading it all out, but you say, what's that got to do with anything? A whole lot. An awful lot. Because, you see, if you're a Bible scholar and a Bible student, you should know that Israel is your time clock as a Gentile. God does not want you to watch anything, only Israel. We should be watching Israel. Because what happens with Israel is so important, what's going to happen with us. Because when God begins to move Israel and God begins to position Israel, it's near our time to go.
Yes, it is.
And Israel is a nation now since 1948. Some say 46, 48. We'll not argue over 2 years whether it's 46 or 48. But there's one thing we know. It's the words that Jesus fulfilled. Because Jesus says, when you see the fig tree putting forth its leaves, know ye that it's even nigh at the door. And the fig tree in the Bible is Israel. And Israel became a nation again in 1948 and flew her flag again. And it's almost at the door for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something is happening in the world today. Something is happening across the world today. And Christians are sleeping. And it's not a time to sleep. That's why God said at midnight, a cry went out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Be prepared to meet him.
Yes, amen.
And God sends a cry out that we be prepared and have oil in our lamps.
Yes, amen.
Not enough just to have a lamp.
Yes.
But God wants us to have oil in our lamps.
Right.
And our lamps trimmed and burning bright. No darkened up, but clean and pure and holy for the Lord. We heard so well this morning of the filth that's in the nations today. And the filth in this country and other countries, the filth. And it is a sign of the end time. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. History is repeating itself again. And that's why these events are happening. And these events are taking place. We are near tonight to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this great sea is important here.
In the Old Testament, the Great Sea stands for the Mediterranean Sea, and this locates the great geographical position of the nation, symbolized the four wild beasts. For while Babylon and Medo-Persian empires were not located in the Mediterranean Sea, as were the Grecian and the Roman empires, they were greatly indebted to their wealth, and all what they had was indebted to the Mediterranean coastland, which they had conquered. And as more and more of this coastland was absorbed, as the Grecian and Roman empires come into existence, the prophetic earth, including Palestine as a center, because the boundary of the Mediterranean Sea and the Great Sea become little more than a Roman lake within the Roman Empire. You know, Israel's so important, and this sea is so important, and these things are so important. You know that after the bride goes to heaven and comes back with Jesus, a scripture that many Bible students misinterpret, the bride will come back with Jesus Christ and stand on the Mount of Olives after the tribulation period. She's gone for 3.5 years, but we're coming back king and queen, standing on the Mount of Olives, and it'll split in the midst, and a great river will go right up into Jerusalem, and all the ships of the world will sail into Jerusalem, because there has to be a time of the millennial reign on this earth, which will last for 1,000 years, and the devil will be bound for that 1,000 years. I tell you, there's great things ahead, far beyond what we can comprehend, far beyond what we may know. Now Jude tells us in verse 13, raging waves of the sea. And I want to look a bit at these winds and this sea, foaming at their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. We have a symbol of the unrest and the tumult of the nations. For the sea in Scripture is a type of the nations. And the sea speaks to us of the nations. And the winds of the torment. And are we not living in times of torment? And did Jesus not say that the war one against another? And nation shall rise against nation. And there'll be famines and pestilence and earthquakes. And still the end is not yet. Those are the words of the Lord. Revelation 17:15 says, and he saith unto me, the waters which I sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And there's a whore that's sitting over the waters. In other words, there's going to be a power that sits over the nations and over the people. That power is Rome. Don't look nowhere else, for the Antichrist is the Pope. And make no mistake about it, he is called in the Bible the man of sin, the son of perdition. He is the man that has on his own seat vicarius filii, which means in place of the Son of God. Therefore he is indeed Antichrist. Because no one can take the place, as we heard this morning, of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one Christ. That's the Lord Jesus. No other can take his place. The Pope is the Antichrist. But the world will join with Rome. And the church first will join with Rome. And they'll all come together. And it's already happening. It's called the ecumenical movement. It's been going on for a long time already. And they're all coming together. And they say, we're all brothers and sisters. But if a man and woman's not born again, they're not really a brother or sister in the Lord. Because they're still dead and they're still outside of Christ. Only those that's born again of the Spirit of God, blood-wise, Holy Spirit-filled, will be part of the glorious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this whore, and the Bible calls her that because she's an unclean woman. And Rome is unclean. And if I was to stop here tonight, and I'm going to actually go into it, if the Lord will lead me. I've got more books. I found a book, very hard to get, but I've got, this is another one. I've hundreds of them. But this unfolds the Jesuit movement from its birth. Right back, and I've said in this pulpit, and I've said in other pulpits, the Jesuit movement is underestimated. Yes. It has infiltrated all the churches. All the movements today have been infiltrated by the Jesuit movement to bring in damnable heresies
Jerusalem. But people today are changing it. That's why we have people going through movements telling people you no longer need the blood of Jesus. That is absolutely heresy. It is hashed for. It's from the pit of hell itself. We need the blood of Jesus. And Revelation tells us they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But the devil wants to tell people today you don't need the blood of Jesus. The Pope of Rome has recently stated it. I mentioned it last week. We are not to try and convert nobody. Do not try and convert nobody. That is a contradiction to the words of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I'm sending you forth. You'll no longer fish for earthly fish, yes, but you will fish for men. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized, Matthew 28, shall be saved. That's the gospel. Amen. That's a commission to the church. I want to say this evening that the commission of the church never changed on any date. But the commission of the church is still the same as it always was, because God never changes his mind about any of his word. It remains the same. But this whore is sitting in these many waters, and they're all running after her, and they'll all be deceived except certain people. Who are they, brother? They're mentioned in Revelation. It says she will deceive all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. God chose you. You never chose him. He chose you from the foundation of the world. He ordained that you receive. He ordained that you believe. And he gave you the grace to acknowledge him. And he gave you the grace to come to him and say, Lord, save me. He gave you that grace. But he already knew you. He knows your goings out. He knows your comings in. Before you even was in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he ordained you. Whom he did predestinate, then we also ordained to become sons of God. That's God's word. Thank God. Now, because we believe in predestination doesn't mean that we do that and say, well, they're going to go to hell, let them go. That's not the attitude of the Lord. We must go with the gospel and preach it to every single creature. That's our duty to do it. Praise God. So we see these seas, waters that thou sawest where the whore sitteth, their peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So she's over all. And I tell you, if there's something today, great movements. I didn't send the clip round none of you because I don't want to disturb you. But great movements that claim they have more knowledge than others now have been accepted with the hierarchy of Rome. And members from Rome has come into the Greek churches and ordained them and recognized them. And it's happening where you would never believe it. Why? Because it's a Jesuit movement infiltrating. And God warns us, stay with the word. Stay with the word. Not with somebody's idea, what they believe, but with the word of God. Isaiah 17, verse 12 and 13. Woe to the multitudes of my people, which make a noise like the noise of the seas, and to the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of the mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off, and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind, and like the rolling thing before the whirlwind. So the word of God is clear, and when you study the Bible, these seas speaks of this. Peoples and nations. But the sea is never thrown into commotion of itself. The sea does not go into commotion by itself. Something has to happen to bring the sea into commotion, and something has to happen to upset the sea. Its disturbance is caused by some outside force, like a hurricane, like an earthquake. So the nations are never thrown into discord only from without, but from within. And I want to tell you that every single movement that's infiltrated is never infiltrated from without, amen, but from within. And that's the thing that they say, people.
Amen.
Well, he talks.
good enough.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yes.
The serpent talks similar to God, to Eve,
Amen.
Similar.
Yes.
And there's no lie as dangerous as a half truth. And Satan said to Eve, God said, look, Adam and Eve, if you touch any of the fruit, you're dead. You may eat of all the trees, sorry. You can eat of all the trees, but don't touch the fruit in the midst of the garden or you're dead. And the serpent said, hath God said? He questioned that it was God. The first thing the devil wants you to do and me to do is question the authority of the Word of God. That's the first fundamental truth we need. We need a fundamental revelation that the Word of God is absolute.
Yes.
It's impregnable. It's imperishable. It's a living, bleeding, blessed Word of the living God. It can never change. It'll stand the test of time and it'll stand all eternity. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. John 1 verse 1, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the same became flesh. And he dwelt amongst us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He became that Word manifested. Praise God. So the nations are never thrown into discord from without. These outside influences are spoken of in the vision as the four winds of heaven. The number of 4 points of directions of the wind are coming from the points of the compass. And he notes their universality. These winds represent the powers of the air. There's powers in the air that the Bible speaks about. When you go into these winds and study, there's loads of scriptures. So many, I couldn't bring them all. Hours you could spend just on studying on the winds. But you know Ephesians 6 verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So there's a wickedness in the winds. Now listen to this tonight, and I'm going to try and bring you someone out. I just pray the Lord will help me for you to see this. We are to understand then the four winds of heaven, though Satan is prince, power of the earth, God is still in sovereign control and will only permit the enemy to do what God actually wants to bring about his great plan to save his elect and to seal his Jewish people. And not only his Jewish people, but his Gentile people. Now I want you to listen to this statement. Looky here now. The angels were standing in the four corners, and this is quoting Revelation 7, holding the four winds. What does winds mean in the Bible? Any of you Bible interpreters know winds means wars and strife, trouble. When was the world altogether going to war? One time the whole world was at war. And what was the World War I when all the nations were marching together? And look what he said under the World War time. All the angels coming forth, destroying angels to destroy the world in the war. You get it? The angel of God with destroying weapons coming forth to destroy the world. And what did the Holy Spirit say? Hold the four winds. The world could have been finished in the First World War. But God spoke to the angels, and the voice of God said, hold the winds. In other words, this will, at the moment, will go no further because the people are not saved yet. That's when you hear people interpreting that God is long-suffering and mercy. That's when you hear, and a brother showed the gap. There was a gap for somebody to be saved, and God stopped the war so that somebody could be saved. Because none have I lost, Jesus said, that thou hast given me. So God stayed these winds. He told the angels, stop the winds. And we know that the World War I and World War II mysteriously ended. And you can read that yourself. It mysteriously ended. It was God that stopped it. Now you know that there's coming an war that won't be stopped. And the prophet of God said that somebody that's possessed by the devil will press the button for the atomic bomb and blow the whole world up. And you know that Russia and other countries today have weapons in the warfare, atomic weapons that can kick this world off the map. mercy that stops it.
And the matter when people say the devil's doing this, the devil's doing that, the devil only can do what God permits him to do.
And I tell you, I could bring this right down personal. You could have winds and storms in your own life.
Hear me this evening. And those winds and them storms and their turmoils could have finished you. They could have finished me. We could have been gone. But God in His mercy said, that's enough.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah,
no. So that we could be saved. And I tell you, when God's calling you, heed the calling of the Lord.
Yeah. Like a brother drawn here this morning, I thought it was great. There's a gap along your lifeline. Somewhere that God's chosen. Where He can speak to you and reach you. Do not pass that gap. Jenko preached a sermon called Detours on the Road to Hell.
Yes,
and he said the greatest detour that, and if you can pass this detour, you can't even be saved. And he said the greatest detour is the cross of Calvary.
Yes.
For God lifted up a son to die. And our room in our stead. And if we can get past that, how can we be saved? But thank God we've accepted it.
God stopped these wars. Hold the four winds. World war until the global destruction. Hold it. We have seen the servant of God in their foreheads. The Gentiles never was a servant. The Jews are the servant in the Bible.
And God would not permit that the world could be destroyed. Remember, think of it. The Jews put Jesus on the cross. The Jews say, crucify him and release Barabbas. But then you go back to the word of God. Look at what brother showed this morning. Regardless of all that man did, God still give him mercy. And God said he's forever married to the backslider. That scripture's actually talking about Israel. When you study it, that's what that scripture's talking about. And God is forever married to Israel. Though they've been away, he's going to bring them back. And nothing can happen that God does what he's prophesying to do. Because God has still not forgot the promise he made to Abraham. That I will bless you and bless them that bless you. And curse those that curse you. God's word still remains truth.
The seal of Christ. Now you know our Lord predicted such a time to come. That the world would be unrest among the nations. Perplexed of times. Distressed between nations. But that's when the angel, the third angel's message struck and the woe went forth. Exactly, but it wasn't. That was when the war stopped in a mysterious way. We get that in the seventh chapter, which I've read from Revelations. When we get to the seventh chapter, you'll have all heard me preach that many times, see, when the angel's message said, hold the four winds of the earth to have seen the servants. So nothing can happen, only what God permits.
And even though it's to the Jews, and we know that part of Revelation is to the Jews,
but God still saves us as Gentiles till we all come in. And I thank God for that tonight. Now Daniel 7 verse 4, the first was like a lion and an eagle's wings, and I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it.
And you see, this is the vision that Daniel had here. Can you imagine seeing this? You could never even start with your mind to try and interpret this. It takes God. But remember that Daniel is a servant of God, a prophet ordained of God. Not only did Daniel see visions and dream dreams, he could interpret them that he never even dreamed. And we know in Daniel chapter 2 that he told the king his dream. And he interpreted for him. For the king had forgotten it himself. That's how great our God is. It's not that the power's in Daniel. The power was in God. But God chose Daniel to do it through.
Amen.
Now the lions. Like of an eagle. Wings like an eagle. Look at this. A lion with wings like an eagle. The first beast that Daniel saw. Emerge from the seething foam. The great sea was like a lion. With this difference, it had wings like of an eagle. Its appearance would recall to Daniel the colossal figures of lions with the wings of an eagle and the face of a man that adorned the palaces of Nineveh and Babylon and would suggest to him that the first beast was a symbol of the Babylonian Empire. And this first beast is actually speaking of Nebuchadnezzar.
And it's speaking of the power that Nebuchadnezzar had. And as you study this beast, it's on its force, but eventually the wings lifted up and it stands on its 2 feet. And you know that God put Nebuchadnezzar on his force. He humbled him like a beast in the field, and he put him on his force. And I believe, now, nobody says this in the writings, but this is what I believe. I believe this is prophetic to the nations as well. That God will bring the nations down and do away with the haughtiness and all. The Word of God declares it. There's judgment in the lands today. I tell you, something. You say, is it, brother? Yes, England's flooding. Australia's on fire. The vows of God are in the earth today. Things are happening that's not normal. And people's putting it down to global warming and all the scientific rubbish. That's nothing to do with it. It's God. And I tell you, God's going to save us people. We're at the end time. Brethren, we are at the end time. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And we need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Oh, I tell you, it's powerful. With the wings of an eagle, with the face of a man that adorned the palaces. Now, first the beast was a symbol of the Babylonian Empire and its first king, Nebuchadnezzar. And then it's corresponded to the head of gold of the image. And the gold was the first thing you seen was the image. But you notice, when we studied it in Daniel chapter 2, it got weaker and weaker and weaker. Is that not happening in the world universally today? You say, brother, I don't know what you're talking about. All right, I'll give you something that will waken your attention up now. Great Britain. It's not Great Britain no more. But one time it was Great Britain. How many knows what I'm saying? But it's no longer Great Britain. Its power is diminished. Because there's going to come a stone that is hewn out without hands that's going to smite these kingdoms of the world. It's the coming of the Lord and his kingdom. And all these other kingdoms are temporal. And I tell you, the coming king's coming. And all these kingdoms, and they're not at peace. And we talked about peace here, and we've had a false peace in this country now. And it's been 3 years or so now, and nothing's happened. And a man that so suddenly had some sort of a brainwave and went to peace, he so suddenly went out of it as quick as he came into it. And I don't want to get into the political side of it, but all the excuses they made were only excuses. And I believe they're working on a tactic right now. And like the man says, when it comes to pass, they'll come out smelling the roses. Hear me tonight. They're on a ploy. Because they want to overrule in this land. And remember this in this meeting house tonight. People are saying, it will make no difference. Let's get together, no difference. The difference will be when that power gets in.
Yes,
the preaching will stop. The freedom of scripture will stop. And you said it never happened. Homosexuality, we thought would never be legalized, but it is. Child abortion, we thought would never be legalized, but it is. You remember a prophet of God said, when the squeeze comes on, they'll put you out of everywhere. You'll not be fit to meet. Unless you belong to some organization, you will not be recognized as a church. But I thank God that he looked after us. And I belong to no one, only Jesus. As a brother said, we're affiliated with none. We belong to the Lord. No creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. That's what we believe. Thank God for it. Nebuchadnezzar is conquering flight over the nations, but as Daniel gazed upon the beast, its wings plucked. That is, Nebuchadnezzar, satisfied with his conquest, gave himself up to the building of palaces. Under the pursuits of peace, and from time to time, the glory of the empire began to wane. And we saw the glory of his empire, didn't we? And we saw the great buildings and the great things he'd done. And all the great types of worship he wanted, and all the great things he wanted to bring in. But God brought him to his knees.
Yes.
And he crumbled his kingdom. Then Daniel saw it lifted up.
and caused to walk on 2 feet instead of 4, like a man, and man's heart was given it. But otherwise it was still a beast, that is, it no longer resorted to the use of teeth and claws to overcome the enemies, but its intellect, it's using that. And Rome no longer goes about burning the martyrs at the stake and cutting their heads off, but they've turned to intellect. Are you hearing me tonight? The same spirit's still working. The same powers are still in the world. And your brother said, the devil goes off the dead carcass and jumps on another living one. It's still here. And it's working with intellect. And the enemy wants to infiltrate a movement. You know, whatever that movement may be, he's just going to bring somebody that doesn't agree with them. He's going to have all their sayings.
Yes, right.
And all their phrases to the teeth. Then he'll come in. And once you see a man that belittles Jesus Christ as deity, you know that's a wrong spirit right there.
Amen.
Once you see a man that Spurgeon and says that won't preach him with the blood of Jesus, you know that's another spirit right there. And once you see people that will give the glory to the man and don't want the glory to be given to Jesus, that is Antichrist spirit right there as well.
Yes. Amen.
For Jesus wants the glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Every true servant of God would say this, the same as William Branham said, do not look to me, I'm just your brother. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. And he says, get them names down. There's no big names, only Jesus. That's what he said. But there's an intelligence today. This system of Rome has changed from the days of modern, the 68 million. But it is still the same spirit. And do not let your guard down and think that it's all lovey-dovey, because I can tell you it's not. It's still the same spirit. The leopards never change their spots. It's still a leopard. And unless a man dies out and is born again, that's still the same old devil he always has been. There has to be a death before there can be a birth. And that's why Jesus said, except the man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Must be born again. You see, this beast that is no longer resorted to the use of teeth and claws, but intellect. The plucking of the wings may also refer to the insanity of Nebuchadnezzar and the standing on 2 feet like a man and the receiving of a man's heart to his recovery from a beastly state and his human conduct, therefore. God restored him. God showed Nebuchadnezzar he is God. And I tell you, the next time Jesus comes back to this earth, they'll not be putting him on a cross. I want you to know that tonight. They'll not pierce his brow. They'll not kneel his hands. He is coming as a supreme judge of all the ages, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I tell you, he's coming again. And I'm going to have to come to close. I'll leave the bar. I'm going to close. I don't want to go on too long. But I want to warn you in this service tonight, you need to be ready. The Lord is coming. It is God to stop the world wars. But now spiritualize that to yourself tonight. How many of us would have been here only for the mercy of God? You could count me out. I'm serious about it. I believe God even told me if I didn't serve him, I'd be gone. I believe that with all my heart. Now, Brother Davey McConville came here some time ago and he said a powerful thing to me after the service. When we spoke of a certain man and that man, you know what happened to him? I don't want to mention it, but you people know about it recently. And I used to chum with him. And he said, God didn't just save you, but he kept you from that type of a life. And I believe that tonight. I believe that God kept me from that. He kept me from that type of a life. God kept you when the enemy would have overwhelmed you. God spared you when the enemy would have killed you and stood in your grave. It was God that spared you. It was the angel of the Lord that stood in and said, touch them no more.
But go back. Life's in God's hands. Your time's in the Lord's hands. There's no man holds your times. It is God that holds your time. And it's God. The Bible says that He holds the very breath you breathe.
And He's coming again for the people that's ready. And as a preacher, I'm asking you tonight, are you ready?
Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? The nations are rolling like a drunken man tonight. The nation in the world is in birth pains. And the Bible speaks about birth pains. That birth pains come upon a woman. She doesn't know where they're going to hit. And they hit, and there's birth pains. And the world's in birth pains tonight. Because there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from out of heaven from God above. This world is going to be baptized with fire. The Bible speaks about it. And we're going to go to be with the Lord. We're privileged people tonight. We might not comprehend that. I don't say I do either. But we have a door that's open. We can come in here. We can preach the word of God. We can share the word of God freely. We can worship in freedom. We can pray in freedom. But I'm telling you, there's forces in this land at work tonight. And they would stop that if they had their way. And just like they've overruled in other things. But it is God that's in control. And God's people need to pray. We need to pray for one last hurrah, says Stan America. How many knows what I mean? One last hurrah! That God would give us a mighty visitation. That God would shake His own people and waken them at the slumber of midnight. Many are sleeping, you know. Sleeping at midnight. And the Lord's coming. And I tell you, it's not a time to be sleeping. It's a time to be awake. For the night cometh. When no man can work. Let's stand our feet this evening and praise God. When every head's bowed and every eye closed. The first step any man or woman needs to make. Romans 10 and 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise in the Word of God. The book of John and the book of Acts says it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I tell you, you can be saved tonight. By calling on the name of the Lord. That's how simple it is. You can come as a child. And Jesus will receive you. And He'll save you. If there's anyone who would say, brother, will you pray for me this evening as we close? Will you lift your hand up to the Lord tonight? Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Maybe a man listening in or a woman listening in. Hear the call of the Lord. Christ's coming. Are you ready? Don't be entangled with all these other things. And don't get caught up with all what's going on here and there and yonder. There's plenty of scarecrows. But we must stick with the truth and preach it. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank and praise you tonight for your word. We know your word is precious. Lord, you said of Samuel, the light had almost gone out. You raised him up. That there would be light at that time. Lord, you're never without a witness in any age. You always have a voice to witness, sign, a vindication. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus tonight that you'll bless every hand that's raised and you'll meet every need in Jesus' precious name. Father, will you grant every one of us the grace we need? Lord, even as your brother prayed that we would live holy and godly. Lord, that we wouldn't be overcome by some obstacle. Amen. But we would surrender completely to thee. We would ask for the Holy Spirit to fill our lives, our hearts and minds, and our bodies afresh tonight. For Lord, you said that the same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, yes, dwell in you, it will also quicken your mortal body. Father, quicken us again this evening. Oh God, you said a smoking flax you won't turn against. Oh God, quicken your people tonight. Send a move of thy spirit, I pray. Stir up the people of God. Stir up their hearts. Help us to turn to you with all of our heart and to seek your face. For Lord, you said that we'll turn to you and seek your face and turn with all of our hearts. Then we shall hear from heaven. Oh, Father, we thank you this evening when you speak, it's from heaven. It was your voice that said to the angels, stay, hold back the winds so that you could seal your servants. Father, we're glad for your great protection tonight. When the enemy may come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord God will raise up a standard against him. Father, grant deciding grace in this house this evening. Bring men and women to the saving knowledge of the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Lord, save our whole households, we pray. Our sons and our daughters. In Jesus' precious name, I part us to your blessing. The maker of rich and out of no sorrows, till thou would come or call. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one, Brother Gary. God bless you.
Thank you.